Welcome to the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast, the show where brilliant professionals share how to sharpen the universal skills required to flourish at work. Enjoy more career fun, wins, meaning, and money with your host, Pete Mikitas.
Hello, and thanks so much for joining us here for episode 409 with Jesse Newton. Jesse's talking about how to crush complexity to bring about simplicity and enjoy the benefits that it yields. So you'll learn, one, the five factors that drive organizational complexity, two, some key questions that clarify what's truly important, and three, the communication mistake that people make when they try to simplify work. So if you want to check out the show notes, the transcripts, links to items we've referenced, it's over at awesomeatyourjob.com/ep409. And here's Jesse's story. Jesse Newton is the author of Simplify Work, Crushing Complexity to Liberate Innovation, Productivity, and Engagement. He's the founder and CEO of Simplify Work, a global management consulting firm that helps organizations throw off the shackles of debilitating complexity and reignite top performance. His clients include McDonald's and PepsiCo. And prior to launching Simplify Work, Newton was a senior member of Booz & Co.'s organization change and leadership consulting practice. And he also spent a number of years consulting around the world with Ernst & Young's people and organizational change practice. So huge thanks to Jesse for sharing his wisdom and time and expertise with us. And huge thanks to our sponsor. It's Warby Parker. They've got a really cool thing going on right now with what they're calling their free home try-on program. So the way it works is you mosey over to warbyparker.com and you can get five pairs of glasses, try them on for 5 days with no obligation to buy any of them. And I really dug how quickly I could just click a few things on the site to indicate my general interest, then choose the exact five pairs I want to try on at home, and they appeared lickety-split, shipping for free with a free prepaid return shipping label. And they even have an app after the fact you can use to find your fit, mapping and measuring key facial features. It's really impressive how thoroughly they've thought through the things to make it super easy to get the perfect glasses. They've crushed complexity and simplified this process oh so much. So you can head on to warbyparker.com/awesome to order your free home try-ons. They start at about $95 for the glasses, and that includes prescription lenses. You can either drag and drop or text a quick photo of your prescription so they get it. Just that simple. And the lenses also include anti-glare, anti-scratch coatings. And for every pair you buy, they distribute a pair to someone who's in need. So cool stuff over at Warby Parker, warbyparker.com/awesome for those free home try-ons. Now, here is Jesse. Jesse, thanks so much for joining us here on the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to connect and talk about Simplify Work.
I'm excited too. And I was intrigued to learn that only a few people know that you are a New Zealander. How is this the case? Do they assume it's Australia or what happens?
Well, people see that I'm living here in Chicago. And so, you know, they make the automatic assumption that I'm American. And then when I start talking, they immediately realize that that's not a Chicago accent. And then to your point, they automatically go to Australia or England. They even get South Africa, and then people are totally stumped. I have to say, well, there is another country in that part of the world, and New Zealand is it. So I've been over here for 10 years, and it's been a fun ride, but still, as you can tell, have not been able to let go of the accent.
Well, don't ever let go of it. I think it's fun, and I think it will serve you well in many regards. I had a great manager at Bain who was a New Zealander, Blair Nelson, great dude. He would explain why they call Kiwis, and we're not talking about the fruit, we're talking about, and we'd go through that. And so I don't know, what's your take on Flight of the Conchords with Brett and Jermaine and what they've done for the New Zealand image?
It's funny, you know, there are a couple of shows and movies that have done incredible things for New Zealand's image, at least from an awareness standpoint, you know? So you've got the Flight of the Conchords, massive success. Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. I mean, people think that New Zealand is a land where there are goblins and lizards and dragons cruising around. And, you know, it just sort of adds to people's interest, I guess, in the place. But it's funny, a couple of shows have really raised the awareness, especially here in America, of New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw Brett and Jermaine live when they were at Millennium Park in Chicago, and that was fun. So yeah, I think in addition to all these goblins and creatures, it's a land of hilarity and very creative music. So we'll give you that one too.
I'll take it. I was actually at that performance too. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Oh, no, good. Well, we could have been in the beer line together and yeah, we wouldn't even known it.
Exactly.
well, so your latest work, you got a book here, Simplify Work. What's the big story behind this one?
Well, like yourself, I have a management consulting background, and I've been lucky enough to work around the world and with over 100 organizations. And basically, every company that I've been exposed to has really battled with this, with complexity. So people getting stuck in just meeting overloads and reporting to multiple managers and trying to keep on top of emails and just unclear global matrices where people have no clue who's responsible for what. And it inevitably results in people getting sucked into this complexity, losing focus of those few strategic priorities, and becoming very reactive, becoming reactive firefighters. People just get stuck in this ongoing, repetitive process of coming in and going through the motions versus being very clear about what's truly important, most important, and really prioritizing time, energy, and focus on those few things that matter most. And so the experiences coupled with a ton of research really led me to write the book. And I really am hugely energized by it. I think there's just a ton of opportunity for organizations to let go of all those things that are getting in their way, to really, you know, liberate, you know, the best thinking in their people, liberate innovation, and also employee engagement. You know, people don't like coming in and having to spend a huge tract of their week, you know, doing administrative tasks, or, you know, having to submit expenses or spend half a year doing budgeting. You know, they want to come into work and feel energized and passionate about, you know, the really interesting creative opportunities they get to focus on and deliver real impact on the business. And that's done through, you know, careful design, both from an organization, as well as looking individually at what we can do to help to crush complexity.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'd love to hear, you said you did lots of research. Could you unveil some of the most compelling research that suggests just what's at stake or what's possible in terms of the scale of how bad and evil and toxic complexity is, or the scale of just how amazing of a difference it makes when you arrive at that simplicity?
Sure. There are a couple of little sort of statistics. You know, there was a piece of some surveys, some research done by the Boston Consulting Group a few years ago, and something like 73% of organizations classified their operations as overly complex. And then coupled with that, from an employee engagement standpoint, there was a statistic that I think Deloitte did, or there's some research that Deloitte did that drove to a statistic on, you know, 80% of employees being not engaged, not actively disengaged, but just, you know, disengaged, but not actively disengaged. So basically, people are coming in, they're checking out, they're going through the motions, not really coming in energized and ready to put in all of their effort and focus and capabilities into the job. And so, unpicking that, you know, and connecting that with this complexity piece, there's just this gigantic opportunity, you know, for companies to take a blank piece of paper and rethink how work is managed in their companies. And then looking into the common sources of complexity, there's five things. So we look at strategy, structure, we look at process, system, and culture. And so each of these important elements of an organization really fuel organizational complexity within the business. And happy to talk about those a bit more. But then the other important piece is that we individually also are responsible for driving complexity as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you maybe give us an example of an organization or some individuals in an organization that were just crushed by the complexity? They weren't crushing the complexity. They were crushed by the complexity. And what that look, sounds, feels like in practice in terms of their experience and productivity and how they came out on the other side and what the new world looks like.
Absolutely. So I've got one direct experience, one of the direct example, and then another one that is from research. The first is from an organization that I consulted with recently in the last 2 years. It's a global consumer packaged goods organization, and they were really battling with complexity. I was working within their commercial function, so sales and marketing. They had really high-paid global experts spending a huge tract of their week, you know, doing those administrative tasks that I mentioned earlier, the expense processing, the budgeting, and basically were getting more and more angry and disconnected with the company because of their lack of time to do the most important things. And interestingly, you know, during this project, they were hit by this huge global cyber attack. And, you know, the entire organization went down. So people could not connect to the internet. They couldn't connect to their email or their calendar, which meant that they couldn't attend any meeting. All calls, communications were driven online. And so this outage lasted for a couple of weeks. And then when we reconnected and discussions with, you know, these leaders across the marketing and sales functions, I was gobsmacked when I heard that they actually felt incredibly liberated during the outage. You know, they said for the first time in a very long time, they didn't need to attend all of these extraneous meetings. They didn't have to produce all of these extra reports and fill in templates and navigate through all these different sort of email chains. Instead, they were able to think about, all right, which individuals do I need to connect with directly to drive my most important priorities? And so they picked up phones and scheduled face-to-face meetings. Salespeople went out and reconnected with key clients and closed deals and built relationships. And so when they came back, I was very surprised to hear that. And so coming out of that, let's take this as an example of how complexity comes to life within this particular function. And then let's get very specific about those specific things that are getting in your way. So let's do an inventory of the meetings that you attend, and let's get very clear on the different reports that you need to fill in and the templates you need to fill in. You know, how much time are you spending on each of these different activities? And then let's be very creative in how we remove those things or redesign, you know, how you get your work done so that those other extraneous things are minimized or handed to a different group, or, you know, other ways of basically helping them to get more focused on those most important priorities.
Very cool. Thank you.
And the second piece was Apple. You know, there's a great example of when Steve Jobs re-entered Apple in 97. You know, he's famously focused on simplicity, and you see that in the design of the products. But organizationally, he also drove simplicity. And so when he rejoined Apple, there was something like 26 products at Apple. And then he did a review of these different products. And, you know, Apple's strategy at the time was, well, we need to have a product in every industry segment. And so we need to have a presence there because, you know, we're a top leading IT company. When he joined and did the review, he funneled that down to about six products, so from 26 to six. And the focus shifted from presence in all of these different industry segments to let's make the best products that are going to change the world. And so that transition to a few enabled the organization to focus. And so his guiding orientation around focus and then top quality really drove that transformation of Apple, which then, you know, has led to the company becoming incredibly successful. So a couple of quite different examples there on the power of that simple focus.
Mm-hmm. Well, so could you orient us then? You've got five sort of drivers of complexity. If you were trying to bring about some simplicity, you know, where would you start? Or since you're a good consultant, you know all about the 80-20 principle in action, what would you say are the biggest drivers that really give you a whole lot of bang for your buck with regard to getting that simplification going with a modest amount of effort?
Sure, sure. The approach can be distilled into three simple steps. You know, really, the first is you've got to get clear on what's most important. And this could apply to an organization, it could apply to a function, a team, or an individual. That first focus on, okay, let's take a step back and think about what are the true priorities. You know, what are the few things that are going to deliver the greatest impact? And I think that's critical and it has to be there because without it, you know, you can't effectively prioritize. You can't say no to things without that clear understanding of strategic priorities. And so I would say that first step is critical.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how do you do that well?
Well, it depends on what part of the organization you're focusing on or whether it's individual. But, you know, so if you're an organizational level, it's strategy. So which products are winning? Which services are winning? You know, where is the organization going to win in the future? It's those types of questions. You know, what are our best capabilities? How is the market evolving? General, you know, strategy questions that you would expect at that level. At an individual level, you know, so if it's someone sitting within a function, it's, you know, what are my priorities? What are the group's priorities for the year? And how does that translate to me? How can I deliver the greatest impact, relative to those group level priorities as well as the organizations? And then move backwards from that. So it's sort of answering those sorts of questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and could you offer a few more sort of sub questions, if you will, with regard to zeroing in on, you know, the group's biggest priorities and how you arrive at those? I guess sometimes the group knows it and they tell you, and sometimes they don't, and it takes a little bit more work to get there. And then at your own level, you know, thinking about how you can make the biggest level of impact that bubbles up to the group. Do you have any extra favorite clarifying questions?
Like, you know, are you clear on the company's strategy, mission, and values? What is the purpose of your role? How do you contribute to the business's success? What are your priorities? I mean, I list out a number of those types of questions within each of the areas. What I think would be more valuable to sort of get to your question is there's categories to focus on at the individual level, which I talk about in the back end of the book. And those are really around, you know, how do I reduce clutter? How do I get clear on what's most important for me individually? How do I stop interruptions and distractions? You know, how do I really nurture my own energy? And how do I optimize email and meetings and plan effectively? So those types of questions, I think, you know, given the context of this podcast, would be quite helpful.
Oh, absolutely. I love them all. Let's tick into each of them. How do we reduce the clutter? What have you found to be some best practices?
Yeah, for sure. And so from a clutter perspective, it's everything from look at your desk. You know, is your desk covered in paper? You know, take time to get your desk clear. Look at your filing cabinet. I used to be one of these people where I would put documents away that I think I'd get back to or that I think might be useful. But when you actually go through and do a review of all the paperwork you've got in the filing cabinet, you could probably get rid of 75% of it, which was certainly my experience, which is massively liberating. You know, just having a clear desk, having a clear filing cabinet enables you to think more clearly. And likewise with all of the documentation on your laptop, on your hard drive. Is it a spaghetti of different folders with numerous documentation? You know, go through and actually cull all those things that you don't use and make it really clear how to access the bits of information you use all the time. And so clutter is a big deal. I'd also encourage people to look at like clutter in their own personal environment. You know, that go into your wardrobe and look at your clothing. And, you know, I used to also have shirts that I would think I would wear at some point, but never actually did. And so just get rid of it. There's a lot of value behind this minimalism movement that has become quite popular. You know, it is very liberating to get rid of all of the extra unnecessary stuff. And then, you know, this getting clear on what's most important at the individual level, there's two parts of it. So obviously we talked a little bit about work and, you know, your role within an organization. But what I say in the book and what I encourage is that get really clear on what's most important to you, you know, from a personal perspective. And so whether it's family or health or religion or, you know, whatever it may be, but get clear on both your personal and then work priorities, and then organize your time around it so that you're optimized for both. So you're basically focusing all the time that you have during the day and week on those activities that are most important to you, which leads into the third piece around planning. You know, probably one of the greatest things that an individual can do to crush complexity is to plan effectively. You know, be very disciplined about your calendar and carving out time to think and to collaborate, to respond to emails, to attend the most important meetings. But then also spend time with kids or do, you know, whatever you want from a health perspective, et cetera, et cetera. So being very disciplined about managing your calendar is also really important. Be avoiding distractions and interruptions. You know, our phones are like magnets. We're just drawn to the phones. We've built these habits around needing to check our phones every, you know, few seconds, let alone minutes. And, during the day, if you're trying to do something that requires deep thinking, you know, work that is innovative, or if you're trying to solve some problem, it really impacts your productivity when you're being interrupted by a WhatsApp message or a Facebook post or a LinkedIn message. And it takes energy to regain that deep focus. And so one of the suggestions is, you know, be very clear about when you do your best work, or how much time you think it's going to take to produce a piece of work that requires that deep thinking, and then shut off all the distractions and interruptions. Turn off your browser. Even turn off your email, you know, put your phone upside down and put it on silent, but allow yourself to really focus on that most important activity. Optimizing email and meetings is another one. You know, from an email perspective, one of the causes of people becoming overly reactive is just the needing to respond to the latest fire, or being having to keep up with these huge email chains. And one suggestion is, you know, one email, one action. So don't just continue to manage email during the day. Carve out time to manage email during the day. So it could be every 2 hours or every 3 hours or whatever it may be. But don't allow email to continue to interrupt you during important work. And then when you're dealing with it, act on it in the moment. You know, if you can respond immediately, do so. If you think the email is going to require more time, whatever it may be, then create that time in your calendar and be disciplined about going back to that. But one of the things, you know, that contributes to people becoming overwhelmed is that they lose track of all of these different emails that they're supposed to respond to, and they forget about some, and, you know, they become increasingly reactive to it versus in control. And then meetings, you know, really question whether you need to attend the meeting, you know, you know, have the conversations with the team and with managers around, optimizing the time. And, you know, when you're really clear on what's most important for you in your role, you can be a lot more, deliberate around what meetings you attend, and you can say no to things because you're very clear on your top priorities. So that piece is important. And then finally, nurture and protect your energy. You know, I don't want to sound too philosophical or like a Buddhist monk, but I mean, there's a lot of value in meditation. I think the whole idea of human energy is going to become more of a buzzword in the next couple of years, because we're increasingly discovering that our energy is key to performance. You know, and having little mindfulness moments at work, you know, give you shots of clarity and energy. It helps to really elevate thinking and consciousness, so you don't get stuck, you know, worrying about the minutiae, getting caught reacting to things. It helps, you know, reestablish that macro perspective. And so, you know, understanding your own energy and doing the things that it takes for you to recharge your batteries, like going for a walk or, you know, that 5 minute meditate or whatever it may be, will really help to keep you, focused and also, you know, not burning out, trying to keep up with everything. So those are the few things. I hope that's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Well, can you talk a little bit more? You said with email, one action. How does that work in practice?
Yeah. So going through your Outlook, pull up an email. The idea is as soon as you're looking at an email, you want to be able to action it immediately. If you can't, if it's going to require a lot more work, if you have to connect with different people, whatever it may be, then that creates, time in your calendar to come back to it. The purpose being that you're not losing track of email, and you're not letting them build up. And so it's an efficient way of keeping on top of email, you know, without letting them sort of result in email overload, if you like.
So that would be in contrast to, oh, got to do more stuff on that. Just skip it. You're saying, no, we're not going to just skip it, but rather we're going to put it somewhere. In this case, maybe an item on the calendar. So it's out of the inbox and then it's a calendar item.
Right. Or if you don't need to respond to it, delete it. You know, or respond to it there and then, if it requires a response, but you're not creating more work for yourself in the future. You're dealing with it in the moment, which is enabling you to keep up on the constant stream of emails.
Mm-hmm. And so when folks are trying to go about simplifying their work, what are some of the mistakes or challenges or hangups you see folks bump into when they're embarking upon this?
I think make sure you have the conversations with your team and leaders. What you don't want is to all of a sudden be not attending a range of meetings and potentially impacting relationships without the context. So I would encourage people to sit down and just have a chat and say, hey, you know, I want to be really diligent about where I spend my time, and you know, I'm clear that I need to achieve these things, and I'm driving towards these objectives, and therefore I'm going to be making decisions going forward on which meetings I really need to attend, or how I respond to emails, whatever it may be. So I think, you know, just clarify that what your intent is in approaching simplifying work.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. Well then, anything else you want to make sure to mention before we shift gears and hear about some of your favorite things?
No, I think, again, the opportunity is huge for organizations and for individuals. And so I think taking that big step back and either looking at your company or at how you approach work and thinking through, you know, strategically, how can we do the best work? And what's most important? What are the things that are getting in the way that are sucking my time or distracting me or pulling me away from the most important activities? And what can I do, or what can be done, to really remove those things or redesign the way you do work to enable that focus? I think can really serve to liberate peak performance.
If you'd like to liberate some more peak performance out of the nuggets you glean from podcast wisdom, check out Notecast. I know how much you dig capturing the most useful pieces of a podcast to put them into practice, and I enjoy hearing about those processes and your results from your emails. But all too often, it's really easy to forget where you heard something or pull it up again as a reference. So maybe a guest shared a quote that really resonated with you, and you forget it later on when you want to summon the inspiration back again. But what's really nifty is this super new app called Notecast by XIQ. It's available on both iOS and Android, and it could change your podcast wisdom capturing game forever. So the way it works is you use the app to subscribe and listen to this and other favorite podcasts as you normally do. But now with it, you can save key snippets of each podcast at any point in time. So it will give you a time-stamped and transcribed notes. It's crazy quick to do it. You simply tap the note button on the play screen or by pausing the podcast and saying save that with a verbal command. So that triggers the last 30 seconds of the show to get captured so you can work with it from there. I really like how it frees up what I think David Allen would call my psychic RAM, if you will, because I don't have to worry or think, oh, make sure to remember to write that down. And when you're done with this run or this drive and you have a chance with pen and paper, it snags it, frees my brain, to have ideas instead of holding them. So it is the cure for the in 1 year, out the other syndrome. You can download Notecast for iOS or Android by going to notecast.app. And they've got a nifty special offer for us, which means you can try it for free for 60 days, as in you don't even have to enter a credit card. So totally extra risk-free free by entering the promo code AWESOME when you complete your sign up. So that's notecast.app, and the code is AWESOME for a free 60 days. And if you'd like to do your learning in community with other folks, check out today's other sponsor, the University of California, Irvine. The UC Irvine ranks among the U.S. News and World Report's top 50 national universities, and they've been offering continuing education for adult learners for over 50 years. Their programs range from business to IT to healthcare to finance and law. They offer flexible online classes with an immersive online classroom experience to collaborate with peers. You could finish a program that could advance your career in as little as 6 months. Spring quarter is coming up. Registration is open right now. If you visit ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter the promo code podcast, you'll get 15% off one course. Again, that's ce.uci.edu/podcast. Enter the promo code podcast to get 15% off of one course. The offer is valid until March 31st at 11:59 p.m. or just before midnight. Don't be an April Fool. Get it? And sign up on April 1 because that's too late. Lovely. Well, now can you share with us a favorite quote, something you find inspiring?
Well, I'm not sure about favorite quotes on the spot. There are a couple of books that I've read recently that I really enjoyed reading that sort of reinforce a couple of important points. And one of them is Steven Pinker's Enlightenment Now. Have you heard of this book?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm the eternal optimist, and I've always felt that the world is getting better. And it was just wonderful to read that book and to see the facts and data behind how we are actually as a society improving. I think, from a organizational maturity perspective and simplify work, I think it continues to sort of build on that idea of improvement, of progression. You know, we are now finally moving away from the 20th century ways of managing work. Organizations are becoming sort of savvy around how do you tap into people's intelligence and creativity and innovation. And it's not just about control anymore, which is very exciting. I think emerging technology will just continue to fuel that shift from an organizational structure perspective. And then the second is Hardwiring Happiness by Rick Hansen. And he's a neuroscientist and has written a book on how you can basically change the structure of your brain by the way that you think, and in particular, soaking on moments of positivity. And so you can basically build more of a bias towards optimism and happiness and contentment. So I think building on that, what I was mentioning earlier about managing the nurturing energy and the power of mindfulness and meditation, I think this book is pretty revealing on the science behind actually changing the structure of your brain and building the right habits.
Okay. Well, and can you share with us a favorite tool, something that helps you be awesome at your job?
Well, I think it's just, coming into work every day and having that reminder of, okay, what's the most important thing to get done this day? And then immediately jumping into it. So, it's just that the ongoing, that reminder of, okay, whatever is critical, I'm not going to put that off and do that in the afternoon. I'm going to do that out of the gate and focus my time and energy on that one piece. So that's just, one orientation that guides the work that I do.
Mm-hmm. And is there a particular nugget when you share it, that really seems to connect and resonate with readers and listeners?
I think it's just this idea of, how do you increasingly tap into peak performance? And we are so easily get pulled into, distractions or get interrupted, or we get stuck, doing repeatable tasks or, in this form of reactivity. And I think it's the idea of being much more proactive and deliberate and focused can really serve to liberate peak performance, can help people to really tap into energy and passion and focus. And so I think that's the nugget. And I really hope that people sort of step back and from the book and feel inspired by the newfound reality they can create both within their organization and their life by simplifying it.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a final challenge or call to action you'd issue to folks seeking to be awesome at their jobs?
Sure. I think look for opportunities that crush stupid rules, you know, within your company. You know, maybe time bound it. You could try and crush one stupid rule every 2 weeks, or all the meetings that come in. You know, question whether you need to attend those. Likewise with emails. So approach work through a critical eye. You know, what are the things that are pulling me from top priorities? And really question whether those are needed, and then have those conversations with your teams to discuss whether, you know, all those things are necessary.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse, if folks want to learn more or get in touch, where would you point folks?
Simplify Work, the book, is it's available on Amazon. I'm available on LinkedIn. You can contact me by email at jnewton@simplifywork.com. And happy to get in touch and discuss the idea of Simplify Work.
Lovely. Well, Jesse, it's been a good time. I wish you lots of luck in your simplifying and all your adventures.
Thank you so much.
I love Jesse's take on looking for opportunities to crush stupid rules within your company. And in particular, what I've been finding when it comes to stupid rules is that they made sense at one point in time. They weren't so stupid because there was a different set of technologies or processes or people or talent or contractors, or things were bigger or smaller in certain ways. There was a priority towards this thing or that thing. So whatever, things have changed and the rule is now stupid. It may not have been stupid at the beginning, but now it is. And I think that's also a great way to communicate it in terms of, like, you know what? This rule has served us well in one context, but now we're in a totally new world and it's somewhat counterproductive. So I propose this instead. So I think that makes for a nice bit of storytelling and lets people save face. You know, it's like, hey, I came up with that rule. Are you saying I'm stupid? It's like, no, that served a time and a place and a function, and we are grateful for it. And now it's time to embrace the new with a new rule or process, or a lack thereof, to enjoy a little bit less constraint or complexity and a little bit more simplicity. So thanks to Jesse for that tidbit and more. Again, the show notes, the transcript, the links to items we've referenced are over at awesomeatyourjob.com/ep409. If you haven't already, I hope you'll push subscribe to catch our next guest. It's Doug Hall. Doug has really brought a lot of rigorous science to innovation and the ability to find, filter, and fast track great ideas. So I hope to catch you there, and peace.
Thanks for listening. To get the most out of the show, we recommend two key things. First, check out the extra resources at awesomeatyourjob.com. You can find this episode's transcript and links, as well as the perfect episode for your situation. You can search the full text transcripts of hundreds of episodes or explore episodes tagged by topic and competency covered. Second, subscribe to the podcast and get future episodes automatically. You can subscribe by telling Siri and several other smartphones and speakers, subscribe to the How to Be Awesome at Your Job podcast, or by tapping subscribe in your podcast player of choice. If you'd like some extra help figuring out podcasts and how subscriptions work, visit awesomeatyourjob.com/subscribe for guidance. Hope to catch you on the next episode of How to Be Awesome at Your Job.